What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, December 10th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a two-game NBA main slate as well as a four-game NHL slate. So, should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in. One of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get Saber Sim pulled up on the screen. No questions prior to the show. That will give us plenty of time to kind of walk through a build demo here and talk about using the app. So we still have these small NBA slates because it is the NBA Cup. I believe it is still the quarterfinals. We had a quarterfinal slate yesterday, another quarterfinal slate today, I believe. So we're getting down to the end of the NBA Cup, which is always fun. Yesterday, we talked a lot about using Saber Sim and looking at some two-game slates from back in October at the beginning of NBA season. It was like the first week or so. They had a couple two-game slates, and we wanted to see, hey, you know, how did the duplication shake out those days? And then we applied that to our process yesterday. I think this is a good opportunity to go back to yesterday and see if we were correct, right? So let's say, okay, hey, you know, I used the slates from October to decide how I wanted to approach this two gamer yesterday in terms of, oh man, we don't have sim results here. It's not good. All right. I got to make a quick note here. So best thing to do, report a problem. No post contest sims for any NBA contests. 12-9. So, unfortunately, no big reveal here, but I think that, you know, based on what we learned yesterday, we should feel comfortable sticking with the same process, and then we'll get these sim results up, hopefully not too long, and then we can verify. So, hopefully that's up for the slate today. Yesterday was an early slate, 6 p.m. Eastern. Today is a little bit later, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, so I think we have some time here to knock this out. Question in YouTube chat, when you open a new slate, do the settings in the projection tab auto-adjust depending on the number of games in the slate, or does it default to the same setting every time? Good question. So it does change. Changes based on two factors. Number one, it changes based on sport. The sliders, for instance, for a two-game NBA slate are going to be different than the sliders for a two-game NHL slate. And then the sliders for a two-game NBA slate are going to be different from, say, a 10-game NBA slate, right? We can just check this. So today there's two-game NBA. We look at the settings, 0-9, 0 correlation, 9 sim diversity. If we go back to a past NBA day where there were more games, 11 games, for instance, on December 5th, and then we just go to like a new build. We go to the settings. Sliders were on 3-6, right? So we went from 0-9 at two games to 3 correlation, 6 sim diversity at 11, right? This is all a result of our backtesting. We basically backtest contests at of different sizes at basically all of the available possible slider combinations, see which sliders generate the highest upside lineups and do the best over all of our sims that we run. And then we set those as the default, right? So we can look at this NBA 11 game, 3-6 sliders, right? And then, hey, what if we go over to NHL? 10 game is really close to 11. So we'll look at 10 gamer. So we were at 3-6 for NBA. We go over to NHL. Sliders are at 6-8, right? So correlation comes way up. Sim diversity comes up a little bit as well, which makes sense in high variance sports, especially like NHL. So just some notes there on the sliders. Salaries and other characteristics change as well, right? Like if we go back to NBA for, this is not the fifth. Let's go back to the fifth. So back to this 11 game NBA slate. Min salary is at 49,000. And then we go back to today. Min salary is at 44,000, right? So a couple things are changing. It's mostly the sliders and the salaries are like the main things that change. We don't, you know, turn on any filters for you. We don't turn on any rules. This is actually a good note. I see Zen said, thanks for the response. Yeah, you're welcome. But there's a question today kind of about templates. So you can set up SaberSim. So say, you know, I'm going to play this 2-game slate. Okay, well, you know, I never want my min salary to be this low. It's kind of something we talked about yesterday where we took it from 6,000 gap to 3,000 as far as like the min salary. We brought it up based on what we saw on that 2-gamer from October. So let's say, hey, I always want, you know, a min salary of 47,000. And you know what? Maybe I want a filter on where I'm not willing to play players under 10 projected points, right? Like I'm not even sure these guys are going to get in the game, let alone like have a high impact, right? Let's say you like those two things. You go to your templates in the projection tab, you click save, and then I'm just going to call this 2-gamers, right? So let's say that, you know, I use this and maybe, you know, maybe I used this yesterday, right? Maybe I used it on the 2-gamer today. And then, you know, slate plays out. Maybe I have some new ideas today, right? Something new I want to apply to this kind of same framework, right? And maybe that is like a rule where it's going to say use no more than 4 players from one team, right? Maybe I was getting like some 5 stacks of one of the teams yesterday. And I was like, you know what? I don't really want a 5 stack. Because it's 2 games, I'm willing to go 4, which is like half the players in my lineup, but I'm not really willing to go more than that. Okay, cool. You set up this rule. I'm just going to save it. It should auto make our name. Each team player less than or equal to 4, right? Well, let's say I want this now to be part of my template. Okay, I go back to my template. So there's not exactly a way to update this, but another way of updating it would be to just resave it, right? So then, okay, I call this, you know, 2-gamer new, right? I save that, and then I can just delete the other one. And then if I want to, now I can just rename it. Okay, this shouldn't be popping up. I'll let the team know about that as well. But yeah, so for now, you can just resave, and it should work. Save template proj. And then I'll let the team know about that as well. So just got a couple of things there. Easiest thing to do is just save a new template every single time. But yeah, maybe something not a lot of people are using. I could see where, you know, people are changing these things every single day. Hey, it's probably easier to just make one of these and then just activate it, and should save you a little bit of time, some clicks as well. All right. Good stuff so far. Answered a question, talked a little bit about the upcoming NBA slate. Why don't we run some lineups and kind of talk about some post build stuff? So let's say I'm going to leave all that stuff on, right? All this stuff we talked about. nothing egregious. I don't think any of this is bad. You know, I think this is all kind of like risk management type stuff, trying to avoid highly volatile players who like might not even play, trying to not play too many players from one team, trying to raise our salary floor here, right? Like nothing out of the ordinary, in my opinion. So I'm going to build 500 lineups now. I'm going to kick this off. All right. Our build is about finished. We're just waiting for these lineups to load. Okay, cool. So we're in the post build. I'm going to create a lineup group. I'm just going to use Unique's One Saber Score here. I'm going to use New Saber Score. All right. I'm going to sort by exposure. And so now I'm going to come in and analyze this. You know, maybe I like to view my lineups in kind of the old way, like the expanded way here. I have my aggregate metrics up, right? Projection, Saber Score. These are very good ones to have. If you are on starter, quick question while we go into analysis. Sorry, just joining in, but what rules or filters do you have set? Yeah, these were just some we were demoing. I think that, you know, these are very, very like hands-off kind of filters and rules. So this one says show players with a projection greater than 10. So just kind of trying to avoid some of these players who like might not even get in the game. The rule here is use no more than 4 players per team, right? We were trying to set, we were trying to make up rules to show how this template section works, where you can basically create stuff, save it, and then you can just come in here and click on it the next time. So you don't need to constantly be going and turning these on and changing stuff. So we just set some like low level rules and filters here. There's nothing wrong with using them, but I don't think they're, you know, going to be super, super impactful or anything like that. All right. Another good question. For high entry, single entry contests, would you run the lineups in Sims or Optimizer mode? Yeah. So these higher dollar contests, I would still run them in sim mode because the payout structures are still very high percent to first, right? Like if you go to the contest tab and say you're putting, you know, one entry or a few entries, right? 5 entries, whatever, into, you know, the 444 contest tonight, right? Yeah, it's higher stakes. It is smaller field, but you know, this contest is still 25% to first. Cash rate is only 20%. You know, when you are building and slash sorting where your primary metric you're using is projected score, which what Optimizer mode does, right? It is prioritizing projected score by building the highest projected lineup. You know, that is based on average projections, right? So your 50th percentile outcome might be optimized for, but you need to be in the top 20% of lineups just to make, you know, less than 2x your money back, right? You know, this is like something I'll talk about with like regards to cashing, right? Like, yes, cashing feels good. Yes, it's nice to get some money back. But if you're optimizing for cashing, you're going to lose because if it's a 20% cash rate, that means you cash 1 out of 5 times, right? You don't get paid 5 to 1. You know, you don't, you know, your 444 entry is not worth $2,000. Your 444 entry is worth $700, maybe. You know, it's like probably min cash here. Maybe 800 if you're lucky. You know, so imagine like going to the casino, you play roulette, right? You usually get paid like 35 to 1 on a number. Well, instead of like paying you 35 to 1, they're going to decide, "Hey, we're going to pay you you know, 15 to 1 instead." Like I don't think a lot of people will play that game, right? What's different about, you know, GPPs and DFS is that, well, when you get into the, you know, top 10% of a contest, the payouts start multiplying, you know, very, very fast, right? You go from 500,000, 4,000, 10,000, 25,000, 100,000, you know, in like some contests. And so the payouts are not linear, right? So all that to say, I think sim mode is still going to serve you better because it's going to build lineups that have more upside and that are more optimized for contests where the percent to first is high and you need to be in like, you need to win every so often in order to kind of stay alive in like these environments. So sim mode definitely going to be better for that, going to take into account ownership and things like that through like the sims and the sorting, right? So definitely like sim mode over optimizer mode. Would reserve optimizer mode for like cash games, maybe triple ups, double ups, contests of that nature. Neighbor said, got it. Thank you. Yeah, man, you're welcome. All right. Getting back to our post-build analysis here in this slate demo that we are jumping in and out of, which is totally cool. So Chosen said, makes sense. Thank you. You're welcome. All right. So we're back in this build. And I want to get back to 20 lineups. Okay, I actually want to make a note of this. With the manual group, each one sorting by saver score. If you leave the build and come back, get an exclamation point on your lineups and they don't load. Plus you change number of lineups. And change it back to desired value. Just trying to do a little cleanup here. Anyways, you know, not that that's really important. Question from Brandon. Can you explain the difference between what happens on the build lineups and the run contest sim? Is the build lineups building based on optimizer like? Okay, good question. So we effectively have two types of sims, okay? Just think of this like there's one sim over here, and then there's one sim over here. The first sim you interact with are the sims that are used, are game sims, right? The game sims are used to build lineups. So you come in here, you click build lineups, right? What we do is we go and we randomly sample the games. We have 25,000 sims of each game on the slate. The sim diversity slider controls how many of those we're going to use each time we build your lineup. So when the slider is higher, we're going to use less sims, which optimizes for upside. When the sim is lower, we're going to use more sims, which as you use more sims, you're going to move closer to the average projections for the players. So SaberSim is randomly grabbing, say, five sims of each game. We play those out. We use the scores, the players scored in those five games to basically evaluate the players. And then we build the best lineup that we can, obviously under the salary cap. So we build the lineup based on the results of those five sims. We put it in the pool. That's lineup one. We go and we get five random new sims. So random combinations. We're always grabbing five out of the 25,000 here in this example. Until we can fill up your pool, right? So lineup goes in, we grab new sims. Lineup goes in to the pool, we grab new sims over and over and over again till we fill out your pool. Now, all your lineups, in this case, 500 lineups, are in the pool now. Then comes sim number two, right? This is the contest sim. So what we do now, we take your new pool of 500 lineups that we just built from sim one. We're going to put them in batches. So if you're playing a 20 max and you have 20 entries, we're going to put 20 lineups at a time into a, we call it a contest sim, into a contest or a tournament with what we call field lineups, which are basically our best attempt to predict what the other lineups in your contest are going to look like. The field lineups become the ownership projections. So like when I see that, hey, Luka is 41% owned. Well, this means that he has a 41% exposure in our field lineups. So the exposures of the field lineups become the ownership projections. So we take your lineups, say 20 at a time, put them in a contest with the other field lineups that we're projecting. We play that out. Each of your 20 lineups gets an ROI from that contest sim. Say, hey, you know, we run the contest sim 100,000 times. Hey, how did this lineup do? Each of these lineups do over the entire set. That becomes the lineup's ROI, right? So every time we run the contest sim, we're grabbing a new batch of 20 from your 500, right? So over 100,000 contest sims, all your lineups are going to be used a lot of times. And then that is how we generate the ROIs of the lineups. So there's sim one, which is like building lineups. And then there is sim two, which is effectively evaluating the lineups. It's saying, hey, yes, I know the sims were built. I know these lineups were built using the sims. But when we take your lineups that were built and put them up against what we think the field is going to play, how profitable are those lineups if you were to play this slate out over and over and over again? And then that's what the ROI effectively ends up telling us. So it's like, hey, this lineup made more money than its entry fees plus the rake, or hey, this lineup actually lost more money than it costs to play rake and entry fee wise, right? And then we get positive, negative ROIs from there. So those are like the sims that you're going to interact with using SaberSim, and kind of a breakdown of the step-by-step as you kind of step through that. All right. Good questions today. Good questions. Getting back to this demo. So we're in the post build, right? We got 20 lineups. We're just using Unique's one in SaberScore, sorting by exposure. You know, now we're going to like start analyzing this. Brandon said, thank you. You're welcome. And really this is, there's a couple different ways you can go with this. If you don't have any opinions and you trust SaberSim, cool. You know, take what it gives you, save it, upload it, right? Some people don't like to do that. Some people like to be more hands-on. Some people like to do some quality control. That's great as well, right? So now, especially these min-max exposure columns are your best resource for like making any adjustments in the sim, right? And this is a good opportunity to answer this one. That would make sense that you can have 5,000 lineups, 9% of LeBron in your pool, but 45% of LeBron in your entries. Yeah, so like your pool, right? Like even Luka here, right? We have 43% in our pool, but SaberSim really likes the lineups with Luka. Like these 230, of the 238, the lineups with him are grading out very, very near the top of our Saber scores. So although, you know, the pool describes the 543 we have, and then the exposures describe the 20. Well, he's grading out so well that like even his lineups in the pool are being surfaced to the top, right? Sometimes you're going to see the opposite. And I want to see if I can like find a good example of this. Okay, this is a great example. SGA, 23% in the pool. We have none of him in the top, in our top 20 lineups, right? That could be for a number of reasons, but I think the most obvious is that he's, I mean, he is cheaper than Luka, but he is projected a lot less. If I were to make any interpretation here, you know, this Phoenix OKC spread is like pretty big, 15 points. You know, the sim accounts for like blowout risk and stuff like that, right? So I think there are probably a large number of sims where like SGA is not playing the fourth quarter and, you know, he's sitting because they have a big lead. And meanwhile, you know, the spread is a lot closer for the Lakers, like about 8 here. And, you know, we're expecting Luka to have to like play more, you know, 4 more minutes on average. So I think his risk of like being, you know, out in the fourth quarter because of like a huge lead is probably lower, right? But like this would be a good example where it's like, hey, someone's exposure is low, but their pool is higher, and then kind of the opposite with Luka. No, totally. Brandon said I wasn't referencing this slate just as an example of what I've seen in the past. Yeah, and I just kind of wanted to break down, you know, that I think. I was just saying there's always going to be some differences in, you know, these numbers. They don't have to match one for one or be super close in order to be viable. Ryan said, Andrew, thoughts on high effective entrant single entries that are above $3 range post-contest sims seem to like them. I think that's a great way to evaluate them. You know, I think you're doing it the right way where it's like, hey, you know, what are the ROIs I'm seeing even in these contests where the Sharks can play? And sometimes, you know, even for like, even though the best players in the lobby can be in the contest, right? How many of them are there, right? When you're playing a contest with, you know, 14,000 effective entrants because it's a 14K entrance single entry contest, well, even their impact gets muddied down significantly. So, yeah, I would for sure be willing to play, you know, some contests that come to mind. It was like an NFL Sunday, like the $5 single entry. They run like three $12 single entries, you know, and it starts like I would get in the biggest one for sure. And then maybe some of the smaller ones, depending on like the size. So I think single entries the most make sense to go like above the $3 range. I would be careful, right? Sometimes like in NBA, I know they run like a $5, 150 max or like a $6, 150 max, like the jab. I think it's like the jab step or something like that. Those contests can be really sharp, but I think the single entries above $3 are way more viable than, or I would be much quicker to play those than I would be to play the multi-entry above $3. So I think you're thinking about it the right way for sure. All right. About wrapped up with this slate demo. You know, we were just talking about ways you can kind of customize this, minimax exposures. Hey, maybe you don't like being that low on SGA. You know, maybe you want to be, you're okay being negative leverage, but maybe not that much. Okay, you know, I can come in here. I can set a minimum exposure. I don't know, 15%, maybe half of his ownership where still under the field on him, but I'm not so leveraged against him, right? He's still like a really good player. So now we're kind of closing the gap a little bit here. And then, you know, some players move up, some players move down. SaberSim kind of figures out the best way to bring some of those lineups into your set. But again, customization, you know, look at the leverage, positive and negative. Look at the exposure. And I think those are going to be some of your best resources here for kind of dialing this in if you so choose. But with that said, I would save this and I'd be ready to upload it to my contest and then late swap before this next game tonight, right? Nice big 2.5 hour window here on Ultimate. I would definitely late swap before the night slate. On Starter, I would be looking out for any projection changes in the NBA lineup alerts in Discord. And then if you see any projection changes, then I would definitely be late swapping as well. And that'll be here, NBA lineup alerts, looking for any players ruled out, any big movement here as far as like projections go, and you want to capture those. So those are my tips and ideas for NBA tonight. I think we're all set. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.